Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Yes, good morning, good morning.
Okay.
Welcome to Words from the Word. I'm your host, Overseer Paulette. And we are journeying through Andrew Murray's Abiding in Christ. I have our song that I hope will play here from last week's theme, which was The Crucified One. The Crucified One. And as Andrew Murray journeys through this 31-day devotional book that's broken up into tiny sections that look intently at scripture. Our song theme from last week's lesson.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down at the cross.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, oh, all to him, when his love ran red and our sins washed white. As the songwriter worshiped the Lord through his experience of being at the cross, we're reminded of the analogy that our author uses of the wound and the piercing of his side. And he brings us to a picture of the vine, Christ being the vine and us being the branch, and that wounding had to take place in order for a place to be made for us to fit in that vine. And so as he describes the natural process, he gives us spiritual insight of the work of the cross in the world's darkest hour. Excuse me. We were able to receive a hope and a light that shines, that broke through, because of the crucified one and because of our surrendering, not our all, but surrendering our life, dying with Christ, dying to the connection we had in the other vine or branch or tree, the other tree, and allowing our branch to be severed from that and then engrafted into the vine. And so we want to read our scripture that is the scripture support and
theme
of the book.
I have it, and Overseer. John 15, can you all hear me? Okay. John 15, the vine and the branches. I am from the Message Bible. I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes. And every branch that is grape-bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine. You are the branches. When you join with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anything who separates from me is dead wood. Gather up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourself at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciple, I love you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourself at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Keep my Father's command and make myself at home in his love. I told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I love you. This is the very best way to love.
Amen. Thank you so
Amen.
Much, Ms. Pat. And so as we review the base scripture for the book, we realize we're at the top of the scripture at this lesson, as it speaks of the husbandman, and that husbandman being God, and the fact that the whole idea was his, and he purchased a place for the vine to dwell. It was his purpose. It was his plan. It was always a part of the agenda that the husbandman had for his vineyard. And in doing so, he is fulfilling his covenant that he's made with man. He will establish it. He has ordained it, and now he will establish it. In one of our earlier lessons, we received that truth as the author shares with us the fact eternity. God has, and this is all God's doing, God has ordained that we be connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that connection being illustrated in this particular section of Scripture by the relationship of the vine to the branch. Being a very graphic presentation because of the natural process of horticulture. And I think one of the interesting things of the mission trip as they're going all through the Bible land and experiencing certain locations on a physical level and seeing the history and the behind certain things that we've read in Scripture. And they were at the Mount of Olives, and as they were passing by land that was full of olives and vines, and how prevalent it is in that part of the world, it may not be something that we were accustomed to seeing on a natural and normal day-by-day basis, but in Bible times, this was something very, very familiar with the people were very familiar with it, which is why God used this parable, this illustration, so that they would understand what the relationship would be. So they were very familiar with what the husbandman did, very familiar with the vine and the nature of the vine, the roots, and the the way they would cultivate by taking a branch from one place and inserting it into another, and the care that it would take to maintain that connection. And so he used that to help us understand God's intention as he has established us and has ordained us to all be inseparable from the Lord Jesus Christ from eternity. I think the author actually puts it from eternity. Christ and I were ordained for each other. Inseparably, we belong to each other. It is God's will. It is God's will. And so today we see him, he's ordained it. Now he's establishing it. He's establishing it. So the lines are open. This is our Friday Fellowship of Learners. And so we we want to make sure you don't take your phones off mute and you interact with us and your insights from your reading of today's lesson. God himself will establish you in him. It comes from 2 Corinthians 1 and 21. He which establishes us, God. He's been identified clearly in case anybody had any doubt. He established it clearly that it is God that will establish us.
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
Good morning. This I truly enjoyed this 12th day. It was like encouraging. It was comforting. It truly was like kind of reestablishing, in a sense. A couple of the things that just kind of jumped out at me right at the beginning, I think like in the second paragraph, when it talks about how easily it is to go from a place of being in close relationship and fellowship. He says, how many there are who can witness that this faith is just what they need. He's talking about how gracious it is. This is like the first paragraph, right at the beginning of the second paragraph. Then it says, but they continually mourn over the variableness of their spiritual life. And that just kind of really just resonated. And it gives the contrast of where it says that sometimes there are hours and days of deep earnestness and even blessed experience of the grace of God, but how little is needed to mar the peace, to bring a cloud over the soul, that how we can have such minor irritations that can just take us out of the place where we are rejoicing and being thankful and just being in a place of peace and rest. And so, you know, as I was reading that, goes on to tell us that it is God that establishes us, and that as we hold on and we make that confession, that we can see that we have not only the power, but certainly it is in our best interest to redirect our thinking and redirect our attitude and our focus back on the purpose of and the person of Christ. And then when it says that the manifestation of what we see is really just God, what God is doing in us, I just thought was just awesome. And I think that's like about the fourth paragraph, but I just thought that was just kind of awesome, because I think of when we see our work, so to speak, you know, and I mean, I'm not saying this is a good thing, I'm just saying this is just a real thing. Sometimes there could be a tendency to say, wow, that event, that service, that teaching or whatever came off well, but really that's just a manifestation in what God is doing with us when we allow him. And it says that all he wants us to do is to watch, to wait, and to work. And I just thought that was just so so profound,
yeah,
that he doesn't really want us to do anything if we are watching and waiting and working. Then just as Minister Pat just read in that translation in the Message, that we are assured a great harvest. You know, that is just so awesome that I can take my striving away. You know, I don't have to strive because he has established and sealed. But anyway, before I go on to the whole end of the thing, but it really blessed me. It really made me think of the God of all comfort, you know, because it just reinforces that there is no condemnation in him. And when we get off track, that we need to understand he is doing the work. And so we can come right back to that place of centering and of peace and of assurance that, you know, he is working in us to will and to do his good pleasure. But anyway, I'm going to shut up.
No, you don't have to talk, because that's what it stirs us up. And it's supposed to stir us up, and it shares with us. So that one of the wonderful things he said it to establish in the end, because it's like, this is true. We can have that wonderful, like you say, in days and weeks, and then all of a sudden, what is the cloud? That was my question to myself. What is the cloud that gets between me and God? You know, what is that thing that I allow to separate me from his, not his love and not his power, but just from his face shining upon me, just like the sun shines on us and we feel the warmth. But the minute a cloud is in between the sun and us, then it's a cooling. It's a shade. It's produced a slight darkness, a slight grayness, and so it comes down from that bright and sunniness. And so when I thought about that, it's like, well, what is that cloud? You know, what is that cloud that is so? And when you think of a cloud, because I think he says it, a cloud over our soul. And so when you think of a cloud, scriptures talk about shadows, and now he's saying a cloud. And what is a cloud? It's a mist. It doesn't even have substance. If you reached to touch it or to grab it. It's kind of like fall. Well, it is fall, just it's falling to the earth, I believe. But you couldn't hold on to it. It doesn't have any substance. And yet, because it has traveled over where we are, it has brought this disconnect. And not a great one, unless it's a very cloudy, depending on, you know, the intensity of the challenge that we're going through. And so, but what are these clouds that we allow to come over our soul that we don't, you know? And it's our striving, as the author keeps saying, and as you indicated, we're trying to make it happen so much so till we get in between. We get, what does it say? We interrupt, I think the author puts it. We interrupt God at work. I wish I could find that really quick. But we interrupt him, and that's what a cloud does. It interrupts the flow from the sun, you know, to the earth, from the sun to mankind, from God to his creation. And so it's like, what is this cloud? And so I did. I think that was where, now they say you put a pin there, and somebody heard say you put a stick there, but, you know, you just kind of pause there, and I couldn't get over that, get beyond that. What is this cloud? You know, and it's this cloud, this thing that doesn't have any, if you try to reach, you know, it doesn't, as it compares to a real cloud, has no substance. It really has no eternal value or power. And it is, it's not real, because our challenges are real, but they really don't, we can walk right through, you never walk right through a mist. You just walk right through.
No, I just said hallelujah when you were saying that, because when you're talking about and highlighting the whole cloud thing, you know, whatever, the cloud of our health, the cloud of our finances, the cloud of relationships, the cloud of our work condition, you know, whatever the political, whatever cloud it is that we allow, because it seems like the author is saying we allow the cloud. God, you know, the sun is still shining bright, you know, to stay with your analogy, your metaphor, that we allow those clouds. And, you know, he said that memory is the strongest force in our nature, in our soul man. And so I think that sometimes, you know, that whole, the cloud of memory, the cloud of accusation, you know, but you go right back to what you just said, you know, what can separate us? And in Romans it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's the sun that continually shines on those, you know, he has called out, let alone the chosen that he has called out from among the called, you know, that. This is just such an awesome reading.
It is.
But go ahead.
It's so powerful.
Awesome.
Yes. And even when I just couldn't go beyond that cloud, you know, and how you can walk right through it. And when you walk through a cloud, and I'm thinking of even the cloud when, you know, it comes to the earth and it's fog and whatever, and you can't, it keeps you from seeing, you can't see what's ahead of you type deal, but you, when you walk right through it, it's like there was really nothing there. And yet, you know, it seemed very real and very daunting.
Right, and it's totally limiting.
Yeah, exactly.
And
even though it's nothing there, it's still totally limiting.
Exactly.
And
that's what God is. Yes, go. Yes.
Wow. I was looking up cloud, and wow. It's a visible mass of particle of condensed vapor as water or ice suspended in the atmosphere. Another one was visible mass of many airborne particles. One said to darken or hide with, as if with a cloud, obscure, taint, sully, S-U-L-L-Y. But when you all were talking about that, that in itself hit me too. It was like, wow. Cloud, because when you see clouds, it's like you said, it's sometimes you can't see through it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
mm-hmm.
One
the
thing I like about your definition, in your definition, it says minuscule. That means so tiny. These are so minuscule. They're so itsy bitsy teeny weeny things. You know, and you know, as it gives definition to these things, you know, we're so much greater than that. And we have so much more power than that. But we allow it, I think Elder mentioned, we allow it to paralyze us. Oh, my God, I can't see 2 feet in front of my face. Just walk. And then I was reminded we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. So are these those things that he has to cover our sight from so that we can get a God's eye view and see beyond or see through the clouds, you know, see through as though they're not there. And that's what's flowing from Christ to us as the vine and the branch, because he saw through everything this earth had, and he always saw the glory that he had with the Father. Nothing got in between that in his mind. And so, and he often said, he was always saying how, and when he was praying, he was reiterating the fact, you know, that these are minuscule things. Now, some of it, the end of it, his mission, became something different. But that was something for him to endure on our behalf so that those things would not be powerful any longer in our life, and that nothing can separate, because he's broke through that. That's why in the song, when, you know, in at the cross, is when the world was at its very darkest, even physically. When the world was at its darkest, that's when we found the light. That's when the light showed, and it showed to us. It was us looking through the darkness as though it did not exist and being connected with a God's eye view of who we are and what God was establishing on our behalf. And so it became such a powerful imagery, a picture in my mind. And it's like, Lord, if I can frame that, put it on the wall of my remembrance, because later that's what the author says. Every day we have to remember that. And that's what has to fuel us. And then the manifestation of the fact that the husband is walking. And I just love this picture of this gardener, this husbandman, because it's more than a gardener, it's a husbandman walking through and touching the branches and examining them with his hands. He's touching them, touching us. He's touching the fruit of our life. He's examining it just like one would do physically. That's why I got this image when they were showing the vineyards and things, and how the owner would go through examining, seeing about his precious possessions and how they're doing and what are they in need of. And every moment, too, their process of growing and developing and full blooming, because that's his investment. He wants to see, the husbandman wants to see his investment, what he loves. He wants to see it bloom and you know, provide the funds and things that he would need, but to establish himself so that the world will see and know what a good husbandman he is. And that's the way God is. And he does. He looks at our fruit. He handles, you know, the twigs and the connection of the branch, our branch to his son, the vine. And Holy Spirit is always flowing and giving communication. I think one of the words they have now is downloading, you know, into the branch what the prescription, if you will, that the husbandman decides this needs that. And Holy Spirit downloads that into us. Maybe this needs a little more water. It needs a little more light. It needs a little more pruning. You know, it needs a little more, you know, bug spray or whatever, just activity. And how it looks on a spiritual level, and how that's a constant, continuous. So we're never left alone to then let's see what you can do, you know, kind of perform. But that's the way we look at it. Well, let me perform for you. Let me show I'm doing good, I'm doing good. And it's like, no, it'll manifest itself automatically or naturally because it can't produce anything else but that. And that which is produced that is not as in its pureness as it should be, it is the husbandman, it is Holy Spirit, and it is the Lord Jesus who will bring us to perfection. And such a rest that brings for our souls, such a peace, as Elder Jennifer said, and then he's like, wow, you know, it makes it so simple. It takes the stress. It takes the striving, not so much stress,
yes,
but striving, and then becoming discouraged and becoming frustrated and always trying to give this effort, this all effort to regain this appearance. It's fruitless. And so because of that, then the enemy will discourage us and make us feel it's not possible. That this very thing that God has presented to us is impossible for us to obtain. And it is on our own, but not in Christ. And so this is why we must remember to abide. And one of the words he starts using, because when I first read it, it says, it starts on the bottom of 95, goes to 96. There is nothing that will so help to root and ground him in Christ as this faith. And then he says, he which established us in Christ is God. So when I first read it, I thought I'd read it wrong, and it's like, is this fact or is this truth? But no, he's saying it is this faith. He which, so it's not the fact, I don't know how to quite describe it. I wrote on here, it is not, it is the faith, not, I can't read my writing, and not the fact or truth. Now, it's a fact, it is true, but that's not what does it for us. What does it for us is hearing it and believing it, and then living based on it. And that living based on it is the faith. That's the faith. So it's not just knowing the truth, it's knowing it intimately, where you are basing your life upon it. And so it can make you free. And I'm not denying or contradicting the scripture, but I'm looking at the words in scripture and what they mean,
yeah,
and what misinterprets them into meaning. Okay? Because it truly says what will ground us, make that connection with Christ's work is this faith. And then what does it say in Galatians? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not I. I live in the faith of Jesus Christ. So it's his faith that flows into me of this uninterrupted glory that we have in heavenly places. And so now this is forming a picture that is powerful, because it's what establishes us in Christ. It's not us, okay?
No, I was waiting till you finish. I realized when established, that hit me so hard, because I had to go ahead and, I mean, as Elder Deborah was saying, this 12th chapter was so encouraging and powerful, and it brought peace. But when I kept reading, he which established us with you in Christ is God. And when I was looking up established, it was saying to institute permanently a law, file,
mm-hmm,
a settlement, also effect to make firm a stable, to put on a firm basis, set up, and to gain acceptance,
mm-hmm,
recognition. But the main part was to be institute permanently,
mm-hmm,
to be filed, settlement, and then effect to make firm a stable. And when you were talking about faith,
We have to be firm and stable in our faith. And when I was reading on 98, it said in the middle of that, it said, listen to what the word teaches you. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself. And then, O Lord God, establish your heart unto thee. And it had every scripture with establish thy God. Love Israel to establish them forever. And now to him that is a power to establish you, be glory forever. And then to the end, he may establish your heart unblameable in holiness. And then the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And the last one was the God of all grace who has called us by Christ Jesus, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And that one just did. I couldn't get away from that one. It's like, wow, he makes you perfect. He establishes us. He strengthens us. He settles us. And I just, this chapter was just, it just brought you to a place of knowing, like you said, by faith. You know, we can only do it by faith in him.
Right, and you know what, and not, I won't say not faith in him, but we have to really question, what do we really believe? We know a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
We can quote scripture, I know that's true, but do we believe it? And that's just like when it says, you know, my burdens are my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and yet we say, oh, this is hard. And so it's hard, then what are we believing? Are we believing what we learned of him? Because it says, and learn of me, then this will be true. And so I think these are all ways that are all elements that are revealed to us as searching our hearts. What do you really believe? And not forcing us, but making us aware of, you know, to no longer try to talk it, look it, but to allow it to be, because he's establishing it. Just believe him, which is why it says, you know, if you believe, then you shall be saved. And there's some things we believe he was born of a virgin, and we don't care if we can't explain it to anybody else, but we believe that. And we don't have any doubt in our minds about that. And it's that kind of belief that we have to have when we read all of these scriptures. They should live in us now to him. So what does that mean? That is has the power to establish you, be glory and honor forever. So now to him. In other words, are you giving him unto him all the praise and worship due him, whether your life looks awesome or whether it is at the bottom of the challenge of humanity as Job was. So what do you really believe, and what do you base your living on? And as a result, what controls our emotions and our spiritual highs and lows? What controls them? But what we believe. And so if we believe, and I love it because right above that, the author starts again with this journey of faith when he says, where does the sentence start? You know how scripture teaches us that in all God's leading of his people, faith has everywhere been the one condition of the manifestation of his power. Faith is ceasing from all natural effort and all other dependencies. Faith is confessed helplessness, casting itself upon God's promise, and claiming its fulfillment. Faith is putting ourselves quietly into God's hands for him to do the work. And that's faith. And so every time, and that will define, or the defining the cloud will lead us to understanding our unbelief or the area of unbelief in our life. And the fact that we want to surrender that. And that's what surrendering our life at the cross is about. That's what casting into at the cross, the old version, where I first learned life, and all the burdens of my life, they rolled away. They didn't vanish, but they rolled away. Okay, and that indicates a process of them going further and further and further from me. Their power and their connection to me became the distance becomes further and further and further away as we are built up in our most holy faith, believing these things. Faith is confessed helplessness. How many times do we not feel helpless? We feel we are empowered to do this, okay? Not empowered through the Holy Spirit, but just as human beings, okay, this is something that I need to do. But to get to a place of total helplessness, which I believe is part of the explanation behind the fact that we have to become like little children in an innocence and in a complete innocently believing what we heard, believing what he said, trusting it, living on it, depending on it in every way. And that's the way little children, I'm not talking about the 8, 9, 10-year-old teenagers. I'm talking about 2, 3, 4, 5-year-olds who haven't come to, you know, have the influence of the outside world. But they believe their parents, and they trust them because there's nothing else. They're helpless. They can do nothing. You know, a little kid, they can't walk. They got to depend, babies, before they start walking, they got to depend on you to pick them up and take them wherever it is they need to go. Totally dependent. Not, you know, after a certain age, you can see how they start struggling to express their own independence when they start trying to move on their own. And I think that that's the point. When we start doing that in our spiritual walk, that's when we're interfering with what God is doing. And so to stay as a little child, totally dependent, not immature, okay, but as mature ones walking in him in the kind of unquestioned, unhesitating innocent faith of a child. Putting ourselves quietly, I like that he added that, because we can put ourselves into God's hands, but we're mumbling and groaning and complaining, and that's not what faith is. But when you put yourself quietly into his hands for him to do the work, that just speaks so much of that peace that we got because Christ was the crucified one and brought us back into that peace with God. You know, no longer are we his enemy. No longer, you know, are we striving against him. But we quietly, put ourselves into God's hands for him to do the work, because he's a husband. So we put ourselves in his hands and stop trying to get out, or put ourselves in his hands and then, okay, I've done that, and I go, now I'm going on my own. No, but to abide in there. And that's part of that definition that Minister Pat shared with us about established. It says it makes it sturdy and strong and stable. So that connection and that very joint where the branch and the vine are connected, God stabilizes that. You know how sometimes with your tomato plants and different plants that are heavy, top heavy, you need to put a stick in there to attach them to it so that they don't break off, you know, and so it helps stabilize the plant so it continues to grow and to bear fruit, you know, when you're doing the tomatoes, I think, gardener. And so that lattices are for that purpose. You know, you kind of tie your little branch, your little vine, the offshoots on it, so until they get stronger and will be able to cling on their own, you give them that
that extra support. And that's what God is saying, that's his job. He will establish, you know, he will be that support at that junction, at that connection, or connecting us to his son that he had, and that Holy Spirit's job to bind us together in Christ so that he is communicating the life and the faith and the glory from Jesus into us, into the vent, into the branch, so that his fruit can be produced. Anybody else? Praise the Lord.
I was just going to say that, you know, when you're talking about him, it is he which establishes us, and the author says, you know, you and Christ and God. But where it also goes on to say, and he has sealed us and given us the earnest of his spirit in our hearts. So, you know, not only are we established, but we are sealed and given the earnest. So it's like we get the trinity of assurance in what has gone on, you know, that he has put us there, then. And not only we're there, so we know that we are secure because he sealed us. And then if we're just not feeling it, he's given us an earnest of his spirit in our hearts. And earlier, this is way back at the beginning of the conversation when Minister Pat read the scripture, I went back on, when she had looked up the clouds, I went back on and I was looking up in grafting because I'm not a gardener either. And one of the things, because I was just wondering, like, how do you really do that? And it indicated that there are two basic processes to engraft. One is where you take it, and one is actually put inside, almost like you know, put a boring, they call it a sky on, and you put the inner of the lesser into the greater. Like you cut a little hole, and, you know, and just kind of put it in, you know, deposit it in. And then the other is you do it in a cross shape. You cut a T in both, and you bind them. And I just thought both of those, to me, that imagery, to me, was just another reference of how God gives us these nuggets and illumination of things, like you're saying, being in the Holy Land and actually just even delving just a little bit. And that was just, you know, like I said, I just Googled it, didn't know the study or anything like that. But just that, and then thinking of the seal, because I was wondering, how do you keep that on? But in both cases, there's already just in the process, just by the way the process is done, that there is a natural security. You know, if you bore a hole in one and shave down the other and put it in, you've got kind of a receptacle kind of thing. And then with the other, when you cross a T out of one and the other and engraft it in, and then to go beyond that and seal it. You know, I don't know, I just, like Minister Pat just said, this been a great, you know, a great lesson on just being patient and trusting. You know, it always goes back to trust and obey, you know, and even when I don't, but just as far as just something that I can hold in my head and in my heart that I know that if I'm trusting and obeying, because you do need both sides of that, you know, we can trust, but if we're not, As the author said, the watching, the waiting, and the working, you know, if we're not doing anything, we're still not being effective for the kingdom. We can love God and be a good person, but if we're within our four walls and not advancing the kingdom and, you know, and spreading God's love and showing folks what, you know, Christian life needs to be, you know, this was just an awesome lesson in the whole idea of memory and imagination. I think that just stops us a lot of times, that we can be our own worst enemy, and it's self-inflicted. You know, our pastor said self-inflicted nonsense, but, you know, where we trip ourselves up sometimes, you know, when God is in the process of doing a work, you know, something just, you know, we will allow the minuscule, as you said, the minuscule things to start to block and Cloud. And think of the Peanuts character, the little guy who had the cloud that was following him. You know, it wasn't that it was a cloudy day.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the characters, I don't know if you remember that, but I think his name was Pigpen. But and even that, when I think of the prodigal, just in saying that, I hadn't thought of that, but, you know, just the whole idea that his little cloud, he was just operating in a world. And I think a lot of times as Christians, sometimes we will allow the circumstances, you know, of the world, not looking above, understanding we are in a fallen world, you know, and we have a fallen nature that is still with us, but it is being established in him that gives us the victory, you know, over our past stuff, so our memories can be cleansed, and our memory is, you know, the life of Christ, that we are new creatures, you know, and our present and going on to our future, so that we can move, you know, empower, you know. But,
Absolutely.
Thank you,
you know,
for the platform.
You know what? I remember the little Peanut character, too. And they even have, you know, they, what do you want to call it? They've done that with certain commercials as it relates to people that are depressed. You know, and they show them, you know, walking around with this cloud that's raining on them and only them. And that is so the way the enemy wants us to view ourselves. And and yet I remember someone had, I had said something, I said, well, I don't know, we were talking about the day or something. And it's like, well, it's cloudy. And they said, no, the sun is still shining. You just don't see it.
Mm.
And it's like, whoa, absolutely. It's not stop shining, okay, you know, just because the clouds are there. And it did, then it made us, you know, make me realize, you know, that it is a perspective. Life is, you know, it's relative, how you want to look at it. You know, where, what is your vantage point? You know, what is my vantage point? And so often we're so about me, mine, and my way, and we have preferences and what makes for a good day. You know, it has to be sunny for some, snowy for others, rainy for some. You know, well, what makes for a good day when, in fact, God said, you know, this is the day that I have, and you need to rejoice and be glad in. You know, because it is the day, from my perspective, from his perspective, that we should be viewing it, you know, and not from our preferences. And, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, some days, you know, are more difficult for us than others. And that's why, you know, I wanted to know for myself, okay, what, I need to identify the cloud. You know, I need to identify the thing that looks like a cloud to me. And so, you know, in doing that, we stop looking within ourselves and then understand it. Because the minute you come up with something, no matter what it is, the Holy Spirit will give you a word that will dispel it. And then it's like, now, do you believe the word? Because if you do believe the word, that can no longer be a cloud. Not and that in that area. And that's that rolling away. You know, I say at the end, you know, the sky is going to roll away like a scroll. God, just the imagery that God gives us so that we can understand what this thing is going to look like and how it's going to be. And just how mighty he is, how powerful, and just he's, you know, there's just nobody like him, nobody like him. And so just different aspects of our spiritual growth and development, that he is in charge. It is him. He's taken over. He's made, and he's taken over, but he made the commitment. And that's what the covenant is. He made, it was his idea. And then he made it with his son standing in for us. And that's the beauty of it. And it gave me that cut covenant with Abraham and the fact that Abraham was asleep. And when you make a covenant, you both have to walk through it. And what walked through it was the smoking furnace and the burning, flaming light, flaming the description, and that's the author shared, and shared that that was Christ
and God walking through that those animals to submit Zenith, the covenant that heaven was making with earth and man. And so he made it, and he's good. His word is good. He can say you can take that to the bank, or you can take that to heaven, you know, because that's our, you know, destination. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Insight, revelation, praise. Amen.
Well, Overseer, good morning, everybody. I'm being quiet and enjoying. I'm certainly enjoying. And have not read, I will admit. I just haven't read, okay? But I am saying that I am totally enjoying and listening and spreading the word to everybody, telling them to dial in. Buy this book and then join us on Blog Talk because it's certainly been a delight. And as I listen, it's just amazing. It's just amazing how when you all were talking about the implanting, the making the cross sign on the branch, And having actually done that in the physical many years ago, and to just see, and then to see how it really does take root. It really, I would say to you, guys, I don't know, go to Lowe's, Home Depot, something, and get a maybe the least expensive, a rose bush is what we did. And you can actually do that, and to your amazement, to see the results, and then to compare that with God's love, how we're implanted, you know?
Yeah. Amen.
It's just, it's amazing. It's amazing. That's all I can say. It's amazing.
Yes, he's amazing. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's a good idea. Maybe something we can do. I was thinking with the young people to give them a physical illustration of in Christ. And then watching it develop as, you know, we would watch their lives develop. So welcome back, and glad you made it. You are back.
No, ma'am. I'm still in Florida, getting ready. I'm getting ready to just hit the streets again. But I'll be home tomorrow.
Well, praise the Lord. Continue to enjoy. Hallelujah. Praise God. He is so gracious to us. Thank you for taking time out on your trek back home to still communicate and connect with us, and we, you know, we have Minister Pattis back. She had gone home too, and played. I'm not played with her mother, but had fun with her family, and is back. And we thank God for the refreshing. We know that getting away does for you. Elder Deborah goes away all the time.
God bless. But, you know, the good part about this, I don't know about with Minister Pat, is that I am so excited about sharing with others. Look, you got to let down, you know, as you say that word, download. Get this book. Everybody's walking around with a tablet or phone. Get this book and bless you. And then call into this blog talk. And they're not familiar with it. What is this blog talk? And trying to explain that to them. So it's been interesting with that.
Yes. Amen. And I can relate that last Friday, my mother, my son, Clive Jr., and myself was able to listen in. And it was just a blessing to have, you know, two others to, you know, with you know, to hear the conversation. And even though we was getting ready for a graduation, we were just excited. And I was mm-hmm. more excited that they was hearing, you know, words from the Word, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it
mm-hmm.
it just did some good, you know. Everybody was just so at peace and
mm-hmm.
everything that was coming through. And even when Overseer got went off to, you know, FaceTime with the people in Patmos and Jerusalem, it was just a blessing, you know, just to everyone to come together. So, like you said, Evangelist Margaret, I just thank God that it was just being with family was such a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you're doing this topic, when she was saying just sit quietly, I thought myself sometimes I couldn't say anything, but just to listen to what they were saying, and it brought revelation and truth. So I thank God for where we're at in this season.
Amen.
And what,
amen. 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 All right. Well, we thank God for our Blog Talk family. And we will go to day or week or chapter or unit 13 for June 9th, next week, every moment. And it says, in that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it day and night. Hallelujah. That's a praise right there. And that's what
Amen.
We have to do. Next week, every moment. So, I pray that you enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit and enjoy your worship this weekend. So, if there be nothing else, all right, then go forth and enjoy the day. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless.
God bless you. I'm going to listen to my phone. Oh. Yeah. No, I don't want to listen to it.